So Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda says that there are two Malachei Asharis that accompany a person on Erev Shabbos from the shul to his house. Okay. Echad Tov, the Echad Ra. One good and one bad. The good one will be on the right. The bad one on the left. Right? No, I'm not joking. I'm not thinking much else. So
hopefully they're not on him though.
They are accompanying him. Accompanying him. Yeah.
Oh, you're so halachic.
Well, then the bad one's probably on him.
Right.
Yeah. Right. The one on the right is the Sanegor. Al Kiyama Mitzvah. The one on the left is the Kategor. Over Al Mitzvah. So they come home with him on Shabbos. Right. And now, so when he comes home and he finds the candle burning, the table set, and his beds made, Malach Tov Omer, Yehi Rotzon Shetehei L'Shabbos Acheres Kach. So the good Malach says, it should be his will that this should be another Shabbos like this. Right? That there should be another Shabbos like this. Umalach ra'one omein bal korcho. And the bad malach is forced to concur. Okay? V'im lav, and if he comes home and he does not find these things, Malach Ro Omer Yehi Ratzon Shetelech L'Shabbos Acheres Kach. The bad Malach says it should be his will that there should be another Shabbos like this. Malach Tov Ona Omein Bal Korcho. And the bad Malach has to answer Omein against his will. Okay, interesting Gemara. Interesting Brisa. So how do we understand this? How do we understand this? A lot of questions?
So why is it from shul to...
That's a good question. That's a good question. Why do they appear? Why are they with him from shul to his house? Where are they the rest of the week?
Well, they're apparently in him, with him in shul also, right? With the other Gemara above that.
That's a different Gemara.
Okay.
That's a good Gemara. That's a different Gemara. That's not the same Memra.
Okay. Also, why is it the Erev Shabbos? If he's going from shul, it's already Shabbos.
it means the night of Shabbos. Yeah. Yes, that's one question. Where are they? What does it mean that they're there? They're coming home with him, right? What does it mean they're coming home with him? Okay, that's a good question.
I mean, also, if their only function is to, to say these good and bad things when he gets home, then they don't need to be there when he's coming from shul.
That's right. And what do they do? What's their purpose? They're what, cheerleaders? And why does the other one have to say Amen? Why can't the good one or the bad one say his piece, and the other one say, I'll get you next week or something? Why does he have to admit? Why must he say Amen? And what's the effect of what is the effect of this whole conversation? If they're only there when you come home, on the way home from shul, it's too late for any of them to have any effect.
Not only that, but it seems like you can only ever have this experience once, because it would never be able to break the chain.
Well, it's just a
man can always break the chain, and then the rock could be the
right
winner.
Lady. If they're there, adding to your question, if they're only there on the way home from shul, so they can't do anything. They can't have any effect. I mean, they get to say their tefillah.
It's for next Shabbos, not that Shabbos.
I understand, but they're not going to be there when the important things are happening. You know what I mean? The tefillah is only going to be mekuyam on before you go to shul. In other words, it's not like you go to shul and you haven't prepared already. Right? I mean, what's going on over here? The guy is just leaving his house and he's just hoping for the best when he comes home? Right? Obviously, he already did. He either already had the table set or he didn't. So what's the difference when he comes home? He already knows if he prepared for Shabbos. Before he goes to shul, he knows if he prepared for Shabbos. Assuming he can trust his wife, or assuming he's a single guy, he's doing it himself, right? He knows what he did already. What do they, it's like a surprise when he comes home? Oh, the table is set. How'd that happen?
I think they should be there before he leaves.
They should be there, especially like the Marsha says, these are the malachim. That Marsha says, these are the malachim, like every mitzvah has two malachim. Every mitzvah the Marsha says has two malachim. These are not special shabbos, these are not special malachim. They're the general, run-of-the-mill, mitzvah malachim. Right, the Marsha says. He says, mevuar ki yesh l'chol mitzvah shebetorah malachim emunah malea. Every mitzvah has malachim on it. One to encourage you to do it, and one to dissuade you from doing it. And he says, "V'hein hein beis malachei asher asher mukan shehein mumun now mitzvah Shabbos." These are the malachim that are appointed on mitzvah Shabbos. Echad b'kiyam a mitzvah, zu de malach tov, omi yiratzon, and the other one is echad v'omar. I'm sorry. Shehem Amun al Mitzvah Shabbos. The next thing is he's going into the Yehi Ratzon. But one second. But if these are the malachim that help you to do the mitzvah, it's late. It's too late for them. Mm-hmm. If they come, if they're on your back, if they're following you home from shul, the mitzvah either was done or wasn't done. So what are they? How are they malachim asheris now? How are they helping you to do the mitzvah, not do the mitzvah now? Yeah.
Parenthetically, are these the malachim that Shalom Aleichem was referencing, or that's a different thing entirely?
No. Okay. These malachim are there already.
And you have to welcome them.
Okay.
It seems like they're there for like a certain, like there's a,
I don't know what those malachim are. Huh. Yeah.
It seems like they're there for like there's like a certain like transitional phase that takes place when the guy, like when he leaves like the basic nesses and he goes home. Like those, like the Nair Dalag and the table being set and everything, those, like, that's really when they have like a certain kiyum, when like the Onik Shabbos is really like going to be like he's encountering it like as part of Onik Shabbos now.
You
don't know.
You hear the story?
No.
Shalom the Gemara. So, yeah.
Like I'm saying, like they're like these Malachi Asharis, like they're really, like they're commenting on like the state that he's experiencing from coming to shul to his house to like
to be okay. So in other words, so even though let's say something. Even though the guy in his mind, let's take that question first. Even though the guy in his mind knows whether he prepared for Shabbos or not. So what's the idea of coming home from shul and seeing it? Why is that different than just knowing it?
Because now they're really functioning as like it was a ceremony Shabbos.
See, it's interesting. The Gemara seems to be, I mean, the Marsha is correct that these malachi asharis are the general malachim to help you do a mitzvah or to dissuade you from doing the mitzvah. So what are those general malachim? What does that mean? There are two malachim in every mitzvah. What does that mean?
Your emotions in your mind?
Your emotions in your mind.
Maybe both emotional pulls.
Maybe both emotional pulls. Okay, those are two possibilities. Either the emotions and the mind, or two emotional pulls. What do you say?
I mean, are these to be distinguished from like the Yitzhahara and the Yitzhahara? I mean,
never what?
It's not the Yitzhahara, right? It's the bad Malgashers?
Yitzhahara is too general.
Well, the Rambam says that on this call. Right?
What's that?
The Rambam says that for this Gemara, right?
That what?
He says that this is the Yitzhahara and the Yitzhahara. No, he uses that.
Always say that?
In the Murn Vuchim, I think.
He quotes this.
He said, you think this Gemara, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Let me see that.
I think John has got it.
So then that's definitely a bigger question. They're always there. What does it mean they come home with you? Right, Yitzi?
A little out of it, too.
The bad malachas got the better of you there. Alright.
Hope it's not forcing the other one to stay with me.
I got it.
Yeah. According to our sages, the evil inclination, the Satan, and the Malach HaMavis, right, that's the guy, the Yetzirah, the Satan, and the Malach HaMavis are identical, right? This is by Eov, right? Every person is accompanied by two angels, one being on his right side and one on his left. In the Babylonian Gemara, they say distinctly the two angels that one is good and one bad. He just makes a quick reference to this Gemara. Yeah. See what extraordinary ideas this passage discloses. Okay, it's interesting.
Is he actually saying that it's Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra? Because it sounds like those were two different portals.
He's saying, according to our sages, alright, you gotta see the over here. Right, the good inclination being in reality an angel. It's the good and evil inclinations that they refer to in their well known words. Every person is accompanied by two angels. And they're saying, you see, the two angels are good and bad. Alright. But he's not interpreting this particular passage, but he's saying it's a general, these two angels are general. Okay, so it's the good and the bad inclination. So what is that? So those two emotions? Huh?
I think so.
Okay. So what it means like this. Maybe what it means like this. That, yeah.
No, it doesn't seem to be two emotions, I don't think, right? Because, I mean, I don't know if I have the right to quote another Chazal, but don't we say that the Yeter Tov comes into you when you turn 13, and the Yeter Ra is there from you from the beginning? Yeah? So it's hard to say that a person only, you know, develops emotions to do good, and like when he's, you know, he reaches intellectual maturity. Like, it seems to, you know, that seems to point to the fact that it's the intellect. Yeah, and then the Malach Ra is just, or the Yetzirah is the instinctual.
Nissan?
I didn't think that this Gemara was saying that these were the actual Yetzirah and Yetzirah Tov. I thought it was just that these are two emotional pulls, one towards doing mitzvahs and one against doing mitzvahs. Nothing to do
that's
with
Yetzirah
Tov.
No,
well, that's what the Marsha is learning. That's what the Marsha is learning.
Also, just another thing in the Gemara itself here, it would seem funny that if they're just two emotions, then if one of them gets its way, it's funny that the other should say like,
right?
Yeah, Bal Korcho should give in. Like, you know, like you could see in terms of the mind and the emotions how when you strengthen the reality of the mind that affects the emotions and vice versa. You know, that like I don't know what exactly it means, but the two emotions are just two like forces. You know, like.
See, what's interesting about this Gemara is not that it's talking about the two pulls, right? But it's talking about how you affect them. That's what's interesting about this Gemara. It's not saying that you have a Malach Tov and a Malach Ra. But it's saying it's isolating a certain... And we know that the Malach Tov and the Malach Ra affect you. That we know. right?
They what you?
They affect you.
Affect you.
We know they affect you. What's interesting about this Gemara is it's describing how they become affected. Right? So it's isolating a moment. It's isolating an event that affects them. What is the event?
Maybe not just a suggestion. Maybe,
yeah.
Like, maybe like the guy at this point that like a person's like relationship to mitzvahs isn't like a simple thing. Like either like he wants to do it or like he doesn't want to do it.
Right.
Like really, it's saying that like when a person comes into Shabbos and like he has a certain experience, he comes home and there's a certain onik Shabbos. So like there is like a reality like in the gavra like of a certain enjoyment. And like he does, his personality does become attached to it, and he sees the good in it, and he desires it.
Right.
But like that doesn't mean that like if he didn't have the neredalik and everything else, that his reaction would necessarily be like, you know, one of disappointment. Like really, like there are two like opposite poles in a person, and like depending on the circumstances, like one can either like remain inactive, and you know the other get a response, or like vice versa. It's not like, and it was just because he would react in a positive way if he you know. The Onik Shabbos was Mekuyam doesn't mean
right.
that there was really even when that's true there still is like another element to his personality that really like resists the mitzvos and doesn't want to do it. So like if he didn't have the Onik Shabbos, like that would also in his personality like he would get a certain satisfaction out of that. So it's just like it's saying that like you
right.
can
you get a satisfaction either way.
Right. Like you
part
can
of
really
it would get a satisfaction either way.
So what's
right.
the
like your soul the guy's personality will be drawn after like what the actions that he actually does, like he'll like increase like the different parts of his personality, like their attachment to it. Like it's not like a simple thing that just, you know, oh, if a guy's happy then that means he'll for sure be sad when, you know, when he doesn't have long shots. Like, no, really that other part of his personality is always there.
Right. Right. But what I was trying to focus, though, on is this. That seems they're saying that how does the person, like I said before, he knows what he did before he goes to school. He knows what's ready. He knows what's awaiting him. Right? So what does it mean that the malachim come with him from shul, first of all, like you said? Why don't you just say they're there when you open the door? What does it mean they come with you from shul? And what do they have to be there? What's the whole point of when you come home at all? I mean, they know what you know what you did already. They should say when you prepare for Shabbos, one should say amen, one should say yes, and one should say no. One should say it should be this way, the other should say amen. And if the guy didn't prepare for Shabbos, the other one should be happy. But what it seems to be saying over here is like this: that there are two satisfactions. There are two satisfactions. Right, like Levi is saying. And it's not knowing what you did that affects the Malachi Asharis. When a person comes home from shul, what is that describing? That's a certain, it means he's done with his tefillah, and he's anticipating what's awaiting him at his house. So it's before Shabbos, he either did the work or he didn't do the work, but he's not... Like you said, he hasn't reaped any benefit yet. That's the work. Okay? But when he's on his way home, and that period of time is an anticipation of what he is going to experience when he gets home.
So that means reflecting on it?
That's the time that the malachim are always there. But the malachim they were there from before Shabbos, because they were either helping him or discouraging him. But this Gemara is talking about not how the malachim exist and how they function, but how they are affected themselves. And it's saying the time that you can affect the emotions, the time that you can affect these malachim, starts from when you leave shul and ends when you get home. That's what this Gemara is focusing on. This Gemara seems to be focusing on, again, not how the malachim affect us, but the time that we can affect them. And that's why it says they follow you home from shul, and they're there when you get home. That doesn't mean that they're not there other times. It doesn't mean they weren't there before Shabbos started. But the period of when you affect them, of when they can be affected, starts when you're in the process of anticipating what you're going to see when you come home. And what is that whole idea? What is that idea? Seems to be saying over here that that these malachim, which we'll leave undefined for the moment, that these malachim are affected. There's a certain impact. It's a certain event of leaving the house and then coming back to how it was prepared. If you're just there the whole time, it's not the same effect. If you're just there the whole time, it's just a slow process. There's no point of impact. Right? There's no contrast. It's just like when you something that takes a long time, like grass growing, you watch it every day, you don't notice it, then you come back in a week, it seems like a big change. But the emotions are affected by the contrasts, by the changes, by the anticipation of something, and then it's the encounter with it. That is what the emotions are affected by. And although you know rationally what you did and whether you prepared or not, that doesn't affect the Malachi Asharis. What affects the Malachi Asharis is that moment of coming in and either seeing the house ready for Shabbos or not ready for Shabbos. It's an interesting point. And the Gemara is saying, the Bryce is saying, that at that moment, whichever side is having the satisfaction of that moment is going to be strengthened.
And the other side we prefer.
Now, what is the and the other side? What's the idea of the other side? It's saying there's no such thing that you are one person. You are one person. You can't. Whatever is going to be. There's a zero sum gain over here, of your energies. Your energies have to be divided. So if one side is going to be strengthened, the other side must acquiesce. The other side must acquiesce. But that's what I'm trying to say over here, that it's talking about the impact, how your experience, it's not the doing, it's the experience of it that really affects your attachment to it. It's an interesting thing.
It's interesting because it's, kind of a misconception, because when you speak of like the HR and the HTO, it's like
and then these Malachi Asharis are going to help you next week either prepare or not.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, because a Malachi Asharis, a Mesharis is a helper. But what are they helping you do while they're walking home with you on Shabbos? Nothing. But that's what's trying to convey to you. They are Malachi Asharis, right? They Mesharis you, but they're not Mesharis you now. They're going to be Mesharis you next week, either to do it or not to do it. But this is a question of how you affect those Malachi Asharis. This is not the function of the Malachi Asharis. This is how the Malachi Asharis are affected. Yeah. Max? It's interesting.
So was the Maharshal that said they're the same for all the mitzvahs?
Yeah, he's saying every mitzvah has these two malachim.
The same two as
no,
we're talking about here?
No. That he doesn't say. That's a good question. Are they the same two? He's a little ambiguous on it. Sounds like he's saying every mitzvah has its own set of malachim. But he means to say that every particular mitzvah has its own emotional effect on you. Every mitzvah has a certain emotional effect on you. Some people like certain mitzvahs more than other mitzvahs. Right? What's your favorite holiday? You know, you're going to have certain You have a certain emotional outlook towards mitzvahs is going to be different. And this Gemara is just talking about this thing. But what is the? I mean, I understand the satisfaction of having a nice Shabbos, right?
Yeah.
But what's the satisfaction of coming home and having nothing?
It's not so bad.
It's not so bad. It's not so bad.
I don't understand that. If the person has... I understand a person who's never experienced it, so they don't know what they're missing. So there's no side to compare to say that side would have been satisfied had he acted differently. But if he already has that side, then you're just missing out. I don't understand what's this. That's not satisfaction. You say not keeping the law, that's satisfaction. But not enjoying a nice Friday evening, like I just...
No, he's not going to work so hard, too. He's going to say, okay, I got the Shabbos this year. It wasn't horrible. I don't have to knock myself out next week for Shabbos. I don't have to knock myself out. You ever see that argument?
Maybe say it again.
That if you come home and things in the house are still a mess, so you say, okay, it's still Shabbos. I still have my Shabbos. It wasn't so bad.
Desensitized.
Right.
Okay, I get it. Not an abandonment of Shabbos, it's the quality of the Shabbos. That's the question.
Right.
Okay.
But it's an interesting thing. It's saying that he is a... but it's saying that... It's really saying, though, a deeper thing. It's saying that it's... Now, is what's the Malach HaTov and the Malach HaRoz true objective? What's their true objective? It's not, the true objective doesn't end by having a table set or not set.
It's Kavod Shabbos.
It's Kavod Shabbos. And what's the objective of Kavod Shabbos? It's really your relationship to the whole Yom of Shabbos. So he's saying that through the idea, the Malach Tov encourages Kavod Shabbos, but his true objective is to encourage your relationship to the right ideas. To the right ideas of Shabbos. To the whole experience of Shabbos. But it's through how we treat the Shabbos that we forge a deeper appreciation of it. And if you let yourself just have Shabbos like a regular day, then it's not just that you're missing out on Kavod Shabbos. You know what I'm saying? It really is going to be so the whole idea of Shabbos eventually. Yeah. But the point is, I mean, the limud from the Gemara, the limud is that you should try to do things, that there are certain things that are beyond just what you know to be true, but you should be engaged in that activity. You should engage things in a way that also affect your desire to do them. I was saying there's a realm of knowing what to do, and then there's a realm of desiring what to do. The desire is divided. The desire is divided. You might know what to do. See, I would answer your question that until you know what the truth is, you can't have an inclination for it. Right? Until you know what the good is, you're not going to have an inclination for it. But, so the pure Yetzirah until you're older. But what changes is the das, but the das now your emotions can be taken, now your emotions can be attached to truth. Right? That's like Bederach Sha'odam Rotsa Leilich Me'olichan Oso. Now the more you do, if you express your desire to go a certain way, then there's Hashkacha to help you. Yeah.
Alright. You're saying that's a different idea, because you're saying that's already a Hashkacha from outside yourself. But here, this is all talking about a just in terms of your the way you relate to these mitzvos. That if you have certain emotional pulls, and once you engage a mitzvah, you can encourage, you know, in a proper
right.
way, you can encourage the positive emotions towards that mitzvah, right?
Right.
And the other idea you're saying is that there's a special hashkacha that if you're trying to go in a certain derech tov, that you'll get help.
That's right. But what I'm saying is there is an idea of it's not just the warning to do it. There are more things that are necessary. Not just knowing it's right. Sometimes you need the help to continue doing the right thing. Saying that idea of derech el rosh leilech molichna. So implicit in that idea is that there is a need for a certain help sometimes, even though you know it's right. Right? Mm-hmm. And these emotions are part of those helpers. But you're right. These emotions are the helpers that you can yourself have control over. But sometimes you need a separate azer.